Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Time, news breaks. You'll hear it on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. That was the NFL's best insider, Adam Schefter, who joined us just 15 minutes ago, dropping another bombshell announcement from the NFL that this time, the latest team dealing with the COVID outbreak is the Atlanta Falcons. And you thought them being 0-5 for the first time since 1997, already fired their head coach and GM. You thought that was a problem. Let's prioritize things over pigskin. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin were presented by Progressive Insurance. The headline, the Atlanta Falcons, breaking news into our show this morning. 4 positive tests. Adam's saying he's not sure if those are players, their coaches, their staff members, tier 1, 2, 3 individuals within the organization. Adam is continuing to work that story. And obviously, if we hear anything, you'll hear it first on our program. So, fellas, they will take on the Minnesota Vikings this weekend. The Atlanta Falcons will. Just a quick reminder that the Vikings have already had their facility shut down after they came in contact with the Tennessee Titans in a game earlier this season. And I think we're all aware that the Titans have had the biggest outbreak in football. Key, as you said, it's all interconnected. And this hardly, you would think, would be the last of it all.
And the first thing, you know, whenever any of this sort of stuff breaks, the first thing you say is, hope everybody's safe and everybody gets out of it nice and healthy, right? That's the first thing that comes to mind. You know, Minnesota, it's like every week they're going to be dealing with it, it seems like. And then a lot of Falcons, we don't know if it's the player staff. We have no idea yet. That'll come out at some point in time when we learn. And I think that Atlanta shutting down their facility, kind of making everybody go home, they probably will learn from what the Tennessee Titans went through in terms of trying to get some extra work in outside of the building. That's certainly what Tennessee went through, certainly is going to help teams in the future. It's there. Like, there's nothing you really could say about it. No matter what the case is, I'm not going to assume that whoever it was reckless in running around and just doing whatever. I'm going to assume that they were taking the necessary steps to make sure that everything was safe and healthy and the protocols was in the right place. And it just so happened that somebody contracted it.
It just seems like, you know, we're talking about this every single day. There's a different team. There's teams that are in the middle, like Minnesota. They're always concerned. Now with the Falcons, with the Titans, with the Patriots. I guess from a scheduling perspective, you know, how far do you keep moving things back? How do you reschedule all these games?
They're going to have to do it, Jay Will, because 8 games was rescheduled a week ago for 2 teams. And if they need to reschedule it again, I'm sure they're going to do it. Because if I'm those owners, my gripe is you. So,
I guess I was going to ask, so if you keep scheduling, rescheduling games, but we are going to continuously be dealing with this, right? So if this happens for the next 3-4 months, you keep moving games back and back, but you're still dealing with the same issue. Unless we just choose not to shut down facilities due to COVID, right? So that becomes like the inevitable wall that you feel like you hit. Okay, so now we're in this week. We're going to move games back. Last week was 8 games. This week, who knows how many games it will be. Next week, depending upon who contracts it, what facilities shut down, move it back again. Like, when do you?
But they've already shown us that they're willing to move the games. They've already done it. So they know how to do it. So if I'm a betting man, they're going to continue to keep doing it to get the games in.
I understand that. But yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, how do you keep doing that if COVID is still around?
They go do it until they get that Super Bowl in.
Yeah.
That's the damn show.
So we'll be talking about NFL football, you know, all wait, spring, potentially summer.
If they got to do it to get it in, Jay,
they do it. Okay.
We have some breaking news in from Adam Schefter as we continue to learn a little bit more about what's going on with the Falcons. Their rookie defensive tackle, Marlon Davidson, was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday. So that is one of the 4, the rookie defensive tackle, Marlon Davidson. And he was, as is everybody, when they're diagnosed with a positive, put on the reserve/COVID-19 list. Now there are other tests that the league is checking. And to Key's point, as soon as it happened with the Jets the other day, the Falcons building has been completely shut down and everybody is scattered and essentially is told to go to your house, wait for further details. So the Falcons building has now been shut down with 4 positive tests. We know the rookie Marlon Davidson is among the 4. Adam will continue to work this story.
And as they shut down the building, I hope the Atlanta Falcons is very clear in letting them know, don't go get any extra work in.
Right.
Do not go out and try to throw the ball with one another. Right. Don't do it. Stay home.
Learn the lesson from the Titans.
Learn the lesson from the Titans.
Who essentially had a workout at a high school, Montgomery Bell Academy, just outside of Nashville. And there are many people that believe that might have been not a super spreader event, but the event that essentially led to the majority of the 24 tests they are battling through at this very moment. Let's stay in the Southeast. Let's move from the ATL to T-Town, about a three-hour drive away. And Alabama's Nick Saban, at the age of 68, right there in the susceptibility range for older Americans dealing with the coronavirus. He has asymptomatic. He did have a positive test. He's going to have to pass through two more before anything happens here. Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator, will take over right now. They do have a game for the moment scheduled with the University of Georgia. This is a top three class, gigantic game, prime time, Saturday night. Will it be played? We'll find out. Two SEC games have already been postponed. This could be the third. Saban yesterday on Zoom after the diagnosis, telling everybody what the plan will be for the Tide while he is away.
So we're still doing everything possible to get ready for the Georgia game. I'll have normal meetings tomorrow. Everything will be on Zoom. We'll continue to do this. You know, Sark's kind of filling in my absence for anything that needs coordinated in the office. But we're going to do everything we can to help our team, you know, get ready to play.
Again, Sark is Steve Sarkisian. He knows him well, the former USC head coach. He's had two stints at Alabama. He was the offensive coordinator both times, and it is a total coincidental thing. But the time he spent in between Alabama stints, he was with the Atlanta Falcons, and those are the two teams we're talking about today with coronavirus. Of course, that's purely coincidental, but I just wanted to sort of mention that. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Just from that standpoint, Saban saying yesterday that today, when they're at practice, it's all systems go. They have a plan with their biggest game of the season on tap for now.
If I know Nick Saban, is the crazy thing about it is, Nick Saban had his plan in place already. The what ifs. No, I'm serious.
The contingency plan.
Contingency plan was already in place if I'm a betting man with Nick Saban. What if this happens?
Smart.
Because that's who he is. He's detailed. I'm telling you. He's detailed, detailed, detailed. Now, look, you look at it. He has a former head coach there that's taken over. It won't be the same as Nick Saban if, in fact, Nick Saban can't coach the game and they move forward with the game on Saturday against the number three ranked Georgia Bulldogs. So when you say that, you know, they're going to be missing something, they're going to be missing attention to detail that Nick Saban gives on game day preparation. What's that voice like on the field? In-game adjustments. What do I do if I need an onside kick? Do I go for 2 points here? Do we punt? Or are we going to go for it? Who to put in and out of the game? All of those sort of things. When to call a timeout. Sarkisian has been a head coach, but he hasn't been a head coach of Alabama. And this is a little bit different. He hasn't been the head coach of a number two ranked team fighting to get back to the Final Four to potentially win a national title. And so you got all of those sort of things on top of whether or not they should play the game based on the situation that's going on in college football, in particular in the SEC conference right now.
Well, if they get multiple days of negative tests, they're going to probably choose to play the game. But that being so, that's why I believe college football needs to change these rules. Nick Saban should be allowed to coach remotely. Les Miles, guys like Chip Kelly who've missed games, like they should be allowed to coach remotely. Like that's a completely individualized statement. They should be allowed to coach remotely. Now, how your individual college football program chooses how for him to coach
that's
remotely,
you.
That's up to you. But they should have some kind of optionality where if he's talking to Sark, if they're adjusting, if that's virtual, whatever it may be, they should have that optionality.
Is there a rule in place that says they can't do it?
Well, I think there is some kind of rule in place about communication, right?
The communication, I think. No phones, that sort of stuff, right?
Right. That sort of communication
is out.
How
can they do that?
But it's something to think about in this year of all of us adjusting to everything every single day. Why would college football be any different in this situation?
Agree. And, you know, as Key just made mention to, I'm sure that everything practice-wise was scheduled out, right, down to a T. Like I've been down to Tuscaloosa. I spent time with Nick Saban as well. I watched their team practice multiple times. Like it's very regimented, very much like Coach K and how he does things at Duke. But when you get in-game, those in-game adjustments, Key,
yeah,
defensively,
different.
Especially for the way he understands the nuances defensively, Sark may not understand that considering he's been the OC for a long time. I think those are when it's priceless that you just need those in-game adjustments.
Plus, the boss on the sideline, man. That's the godfather. Kiss the ring. Like, he's on the sideline. You know what I'm saying? That death stare that he would give a player. That sort of stuff resonates. It makes you click. If something is going wrong, he gives you that Nick Saban look. All of a sudden, you're getting it right.
Ask Lane about that.
Well, yeah, Lane. which is another connection to Sark if you wanted to go Ole Miss, first positive test, Sark. You know, if you want to put all that together, it's a wild year, man. That's all I can say.
Real quick, I want to recap what happened in the NFL, and that is Marlon Davidson, young kid out of Auburn, who is a Falcons rookie, is one of four people in the organization that has tested positive. And right now, he has been put on their reserve COVID-19 list. We're waiting to find out who the other three are. Not to out them, not to single them out, but if any of them happen to be assistant coaches that are in the susceptibility range that are a little bit older, like a Coach Saban, who is 68 years old, you're obviously going to have to take that a little bit more seriously. As is per protocol, what happened in Nashville, what happened in Minnesota, what happened in New England, what happened in Florham Park, New Jersey with the Jets earlier this week. The Falcons facility has been shut down. Everybody has been sent back to their house as they await further word. As we mentioned, they're scheduled to take on the Minnesota Vikings. As Key said, the league is playing musical chairs with games all over the place. We'll wait to see if that game goes on. And if you're wondering, the Falcons are just coming off a game with the Carolina Panthers. So from a contact tracing perspective, you got to believe the Panthers are looking into what's going on this morning in Charlotte as well. A quick reminder, the biggest boxing event of the fall airs live on ESPN this Saturday, October 17th, when the WBC franchise, WBA, WBO world champion Vasily Lomachenko and the IBF kingpin Teofimo Lopez clash in a lightweight unification showdown live from the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Live coverage, 7:30 Eastern, with the undercard action on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. Those will be two. They're not heavyweights, but it'll be a heavyweight bout with regards to attention. And speaking of two NFL heavyweight quarterbacks, let's get it going with Take Your Pick. If you had Herbert last Monday night, even in a loss, that would be something.
Zubin, you know how I feel about those first two takes?
What's that?
I never said that. Those words never came out of my mouth.
Yeah,
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I had some bad deals last week.
You might need this is for the true hardcore listeners of the show. You might need a mulligan on Tannehill.
Oh, yeah, that's a good play.
Well,
yeah, take a mulligan.
Whatever.
We'll take a mulligan.
Dan Orlovsky said he's an MVP, so I might have to listen to Dan.
Don't try to bring Dan into the conversation.
No, I'm saying he said MVP. Watch out, Key. So I might have to, look at it now.
Let's roll. There's some unbelievable matchups this week. Let's start with the figurative mention on the heavyweights. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Sunday afternoon, 4:25 Eastern.
These are heavyweights, but I'm taking Aaron Rodgers in this situation. I, with or without Devontae Adams in the lineup, who, has been hobbled this year a little bit. He's practiced some, but I just like Aaron Rodgers. I think Tom Brady, without O.J. Howard in the lineup, doesn't give him that vertical stretch game at the tight end position. We don't know what Marquise Godwin would do in terms of if he's going to play. I know he ran lightly over the last couple of days. You look at that, they take Mike Evans away on a double team. Who's he going to throw the ball to?
I think Tom Brady has a lot to prove. Is it fourth? Is it third? Is it fourth? I think he has a lot to prove in this game. But ultimately, I will say, I think Aaron Rodgers, just with the way he's been playing at an MVP caliber level, who knows who he's going to throw the ball to? It feels like every different Monday we're coming out of a conversation, we're talking about a new receiver that he's making a lot of money.
Chris Godwin. Just want to clear that up.
Yep, for the Bucs, the young kid for sure.
Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's Godwin. We can mess up some names, so just know that.
Here we go again. You can say that. I can't.
You should not.
As we've established before. All right, so Tom Brady won't be throwing four fingers up in the air. He'll be throwing two because this is our second one. Deshaun Watson against the mulligan himself, Ryan Tannehill.
I'm going to take Deshaun Watson. I think Romeo Crennel has him playing different after 1 week of head coaching. They seem like they enjoy playing for Romeo more so than Bill O'Brien, just at a small sample size of seeing that last week. Those receivers decided that they were going to play big for their quarterback. I think that continues.
Yeah, too small of a sample size for me to ride with the Texans just as of right now. I want to believe in Deshaun Watson. I think he's an incredible talent. It was actually good to see him get into a rhythm their last game. But I think this Titans team is a team that is extremely underappreciated. I don't think people give them the credit that they deserve. Yes, I'm going over my talking time, Keyshawn, because I deserve it, damn it.
We got to get a piece of plexiglass in between you guys and figure out which side is which here.
We're 6 feet apart.
We're 6 feet apart.
Plus, I want to see Derrick Henry just stiff-arm somebody like he did Josh Norman.
Josh Norman, wow. Mm. All right, so we got another Monday night doubleheader, COVID 2020. The first one up, Mahomes and Allen, Chiefs, Bills, 6 days after we saw the Bills on Tuesday night football. So we got Mahomes and Allen on a Monday night. We'll get to the other Monday night game in a second.
Is it in Buffalo?
The game?
It's probably in Buffalo.
I'll tell you right now.
I'm taking Patrick Mahomes regardless of where it's at.
Okay. So why would you ask?
Because I just felt like it.
Orchard Park, New York. We'll see you in Orchard Park, New York.
I looked at that defense last week, and they certainly gave up the goods to Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans. And if Tannehill could do what he did against them, imagine what Patrick Mahomes and Hill and those guys are going to do.
I did look forward to this game 2 weeks ago. I don't look forward to this game now. Even though let's see how Josh Allen and their offense responds.
You like Josh Allen, though, I thought.
I just think, look, that first pick, I'm not going to put on him. That second pick was just atrocious.
You do understand both picks was his fault.
Why? Because he threw behind the receiver
in
the first one?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but still, Keyshawn, somebody like you were there, you make that grab with your hand. But he ain't me. Me's and you's, I understand. Fine. No. Still, I think it's going to be a good matchup. I still take the Chiefs.
We'll get to the other Monday night game, the traditional Monday night game that you'll see after the Chiefs and the Bills in just 1 second. Drew Lock looks to be back, perhaps. First full practice since the right shoulder injury against Pittsburgh. He'll take on Cam Newton, who we're also expecting back.
Cam Newton, the hair and the scarf, that's what I'm taking. I'm taking them all because Cam Newton's the guy. I mean, he missed the last game. They had an opportunity to win that game with Brian Hoyer and Stenham at quarterback. Imagine what this offense looked like with Cam Newton, as Swaggoo would say, Cam Damn Newton at the helm. It's simple for me.
Bill Belichick has his optionality back. I'm definitely not picking the Broncos, riding with the Patriots.
Wentz, Lamar, Eagles, Ravens.
Lamar, have you watched Carson Wentz?
I just got to tee him up for it.
We didn't need to ask that question with the Eagles.
He's a pick six waiting to happen right now. The offensive line's bad. The receivers are not playing well. The running game, the defense. The only good thing for them is they got a decent defensive line. That's it.
Hasn't Carson thrown a pick in every game he's played in this season?
A pick six waiting to happen. You can swap him and Phillip Rivers out and get the same guy.
Your thoughts?
No, I was asking the question. Hasn't Carson threw a pick every?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so that's
every
my answer.
Game. Last one. This is the second Monday night game I was referencing before. This is the traditional one already on the schedule, which is obviously a little interesting here because the Cowboys have had a little change of quarterback, as I'm sure you've heard. This will be on ESPN on Monday night. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Andy Dalton and the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going to take Andy Dalton.
Okay.
I'm going to take Andy Dalton because I think he has a lot to play for. He could be the 2020-21 version of Ryan Tannehill. He comes in, he takes over, he leads his team into the playoffs, they win the division. Not necessarily with the Dallas Cowboys like Tannehill re-signed with Tennessee,
right. But
he could wind up playing himself into some good fortune moving forward. A veteran player in this league who knows how to play. I know a lot of people kind of laugh and giggle when you say Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton knows how to play the quarterback position. Just didn't work out long term in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Kyler Murray and company found their confidence playing against the Jets coming off that two-game back-to-back loss with the Lions and the Panthers.
Against the Jets.
But I am taking the Cowboys in this game. I just think Andy Dalton is the best backup quarterback there is in football.
It's hard to argue. I mean, he's been to the playoffs 5 years in a row, and people will say, well, he hasn't won a playoff game. Well, think about this. Nobody's won a Bengals playoff game at quarterback in 30 years, Key. I mean, he's done reasonably well.
To me, he's good.
I agree,
right?
Yes.
I mean, think about it. Ryan Tannehill was down in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, get out. No good. Nothing. He's 11-3 since taking over in Tennessee. They signed him a four-year, $118 million deal because he's fitting exactly what it is that they want to do at the quarterback spot. If Andy Dalton takes the Cowboys, they win the division, and let's say they go 9-7, whatever you want to call it.
But
he plays well.
Sure.
There's a handful of teams that'll need quarterbacks next year. Veteran guy that fits exactly what it is that they want to do in that recipe. Why not?
And the thing they've made work is when you pay Dak $31.4 on the franchise tag, and you obviously never think Dak is going to get hurt, but the fact that they could get the best backup, to Jay's point, in the NFL in for $3 million. So you can slot your quarterbacks at that price. $7 million with incentives, which Andy's going to have a chance to make, because if he stays healthy, he will play the rest of the season. $3 million is a pittance, is a small price to pay for the best backup in football at the most important position on the field.
The Raiders paid more money for Mariota.
And he's done.
Yeah, but yeah. They paid all that money Correct. For him as a backup.
Correct.
Cam Newton is, you know what he got. He got $1 million, veteran minimum, to go and prove himself up in New England, and he has New England playing well. And then you look at Andy Dalton, he didn't get a big payday. He has an opportunity to get some incentives. If he hits those incentives, that number goes up.
Real quick question I want to ask you. I know you're going to sit down with Ezekiel Elliott. Is Kellen Moore, is he going to try to change the way that they play, or are they going to be more of a run-first offense, or do you think he'll still try to play the same way they play with Dak, now with Andy Dalton?
No, they'll probably – to me, if I was Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore, I'd try to run the ball a little bit more with Zeke and not ask Andy Dalton to win the football game like you did with Dak Prescott. Two different styles, two different quarterbacks. I don't want Andy Dalton dropping back and throwing the ball 45 times. Not into that. Need you to hand the ball off, make the necessary throws to get your team into the end zone, and don't turn the ball over.
When are we going to see the Ezekiel interview? Do you know?
I don't know. I have no idea. We working on it now.
It's exciting to get his thoughts on
you
it.
Think he'll be wearing a belly shirt during an interview? Well, it's a question.
We'll cut off, show those apps.
Just, you know, I don't know.
But it's an interesting interview because obviously the onus of the offense is certainly going to fall to him at this particular point. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're just joining us, our top story, there are multiple players. We're not going to put a number on this right now because we're still waiting for definitive word on it. There's been some numbers floating, but we're going to call it multiple positive tests that have hit the Atlanta Falcons facility. The Falcons facility has been closed. Everyone has departed. Multiple positive tests this morning per the NFL's best insider, Adam Schefter. We'll continue to follow it all day long here on ESPN Radio. Still to come, the Lakers won the title. Key's name is first on the show, so it's not unusual to have a Laker fan join us. And one of the biggest we know, Carlton. Yes, Carlton. Alfonso Ribeiro from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Fresh off the Lakers' 17th title is on the way.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And think about that. Of the 17 championships they've won, considering a year like 2020 is a year like any other, it's no reason why you just heard our man here say this title means more than any other. Giannis himself, the two-time MVP, said, no asterisks needed. The amount of adversity any team has to overcome this year is greater than we're ever going to see before. It's a pleasure to go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and welcome in Alfonso Ribeiro, who you may know from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You may know from his stint hosting one of the longest-running programs on all of television, America's Funniest Home Videos, which returns to ABC this Sunday night at 7 Eastern. He does such a great job as the host of that program, and he's with us this morning.
What up, Fonz?
What's happening, guys? What's going on?
Man, what's going on, brother?
As we like to say, we did it, number 17.
Yeah. You know we did it. We did it. We did it strong, too.
No, we took care.
Four
we took care of business.
Total.
No, we took care of business.
In the entire bubble. Yeah, no. It was special. We took care of our business. LeBron brought it home for us. I got to tell you, I was thinking about this last night, and I was like, you know, the one player that is not getting the love, truly the love that he deserves for what he did on that court was Rajon Rondo. I mean, people have given him love, but I feel like, you know, obviously the big two were going to take care of business. But Rondo stepped up to me as the third, not necessarily based on points, but overall running the show when LeBron didn't have the ball in his hand played a huge role in how that team was able to conquer this championship.
Did you get, now be honest with me, man, did you get spooked though when it got to 3-2? Were you like, I mean, because I had a lot of confidence out the gate, but when it got to 3-2, I'm like, damn.
No, there was a moment. There was a moment where I was like, okay, this team is not supposed to get to 3-2. Like, it was supposed to be a sweep after game one, and you got to give Spolstra and Jimmy Butler a lot of credit for what they were able to do to be able to win two games against this team. I think they were totally overmatched. But they were, you know, they're scrappers. They're a reason why they were in the finals. And I think all due respect to Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra for getting that team to never think that they didn't have a chance to win.
Alfonso, Jay Williams here, man. I've seen you on the court. I see how you move. I know you know the game. I know you know the game, brother. When you saw Markieff Morris make that pass over the top to go out of bounds, like it always seems like Bron has one of those J.R. Smith moments. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, there's always that moment. LeBron is so smart when it comes to playing this game and understanding where he needs to be and where players need to be. And, you know, when people make those mistakes, he's like, how do you not see that was the worst possible decision you could make? I think there's a lot of questions and a lot of discussion about, you know, the GOAT. And I think what happens is we all look at, and I think this is just for human nature. We look at our youth, our heyday, as nothing could ever be greater than that. And I think, you know, look, Michael Jordan was the greatest scorer this game has ever seen. Just incredible dominance and the way that he went about, you know, winning at such a high rate. The question is now truly a true question as to whether LeBron is in that discussion, because he just does it a different way. He does it in a way that's making other players better. And, you know, for so many years, how many times did we talk about people saying, well, you know, Kobe didn't make his teammates better, right? And that was the discussion as to why he couldn't surpass Michael. Well, that's all that LeBron does. And he's still scoring 25, 26 points a game. You know, he's not averaging a triple-double, but he's had more triple-doubles in the playoffs than anybody else. Like, you start looking at that and you go, you know, that has to mean something in terms of the argument as the GOAT. But truly, at the end of the day, the GOAT for me has always been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So we'll see.
Key's been saying the same thing. Okay, with that being said then, give me your Lakers Mount Rushmore.
Well, you know, the problem with the Lakers Mount Rushmore is simply that LeBron's not finished yet. So it's hard to say what LeBron is going to be on that Mount Rushmore because he hasn't finished, right? So does he bring another title? Does he bring two more titles? That becomes the question. But the Lakers Mount Rushmore, to me, has to start with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Then it has to go to Kobe Bryant. Then it's Magic Johnson. You know, you could make an argument for Wilt Chamberlain. But those are my three. At this point right now, it's whether it's Wilt or
Shaq?
LeBron.
Shaq?
Based on what does LeBron do next.
You don't got Shaq on there?
Well, here's the thing. Does Shaq actually – how many more championships did he bring? Right. So, you know, Shaq is that other member right now. Shaq is on that. You're right. I think Shaq is definitely on the Mount Rushmore.
We got We got a lot.
That's the problem. Do we go back to Elgin Baylor? Right. At some point you could go back in history and also come up with, you know, a lot of great Lakers, Jerry West. Right. Like, so there's a lot to choose from. Shaq is, once again, he's part of that Mount Rushmore discussion because it's part of today. But if you're just looking at stats, right, like, it's close.
No, but it can't, Alfonso, it can't be just stats. It's got to be longevity with the team wearing the purple and gold, plus how many championships, in those championships, were you a difference maker? That's the way that I look at it.
And if you're looking at it that way, there is absolutely no question that you've got to put Shaq on that Mount Rushmore, because the impact that he had in the game for every team he played for, obviously with the Lakers predominantly, he changed the way teams had to play. You could not play the Lakers differently than making sure that you tried to do the best you could with Shaq. And Kobe became the 1-2 punch. But then when Shaq left, you know, Kobe took over, and Pau Gasol was a pretty good replacement for Shaq.
Not the same, but
not the same.
It worked out the way that it was supposed to do. Here's what I would say to you about the LeBron situation. LeBron probably won't make it on Mount Rushmore because the longevity in a Laker uniform. Unless he can run off 3 championships in the next 5 years, it's going to be hard, though. It's just going to be hard to put him up there because of the longevity and his age.
And I agree with that 100%. That's why it's the LeBron question is, well, what's going to happen next year? What happens the year after? Does AD stay? Right? I think there's all signs of looking that he's going to stay, but how does this team continue to develop? Because next year is going to be a different year, right? Obviously in the East, you've got KD coming, and we'll see whether he's the KD of old, but you're also going to have the Warriors, who are going to be back in the mix. And what kind of team do they look like next season? It's going to be truly a great year if everything works out, because we're going to see the, 3-point shooting team that does have an inside presence that Houston did not have against a big team in the Lakers going against. So we're looking at the 80s, 90s versus the 2000s and 2020s, right? The difference of the NBA, we're going to see which one is still dominant next season.
I got to tell you, man, we see our guy Jay Will on NBA Countdown on ABC. You might as well be on it. You're on ABC already. You should be joining the Countdown
crew,
bro. This is some great analysis.
Come on over here and break some down, break some ball down, man.
You can see.
Listen, you guys have me anytime. I watch this game every day. I'm right now in the middle of the country in an RV trip with the kids and the family. I've been doing it all summer. But when the basketball game comes on, I tell everybody I'm going outside. I'm watching my TV outside, and I'm don't leave me alone. I got to watch my games.
No doubt. Stay safe as you travel across the country. And a reminder, Alfonso and the whole crew from one of the longest running shows. I'm 42. I remember watching this show when I was a teenager. America's Funniest Home Videos, back on ABC Sunday night, 7 Eastern. Alfonso, safe travels for you and the family around the country.
All right, man. See you back
in
the
crib. Absolutely, guys.
All right, brother.
So absolutely. We got to get on that course, man.
Man, I ain't playing no golf. You know that.
He barely knows what a mulligan is, Alfonso.
No, I don't know what a mulligan is. There's no barely to it.
You do now. We
well,
talked about
now
it.
I do. A 9-iron. Is that right?
Okay.
Thanks,
right,
Alfonso.
Y'all be good now.
Same to you.
All right.
You don't have a 9 in the bag, use the pitching wedge. It's all the same.
I could act like I know. Walk around with my shirt tucked in.
All you need is a
7-iron
and your putter. You're good.
See, but Tiger wouldn't just use a 7-iron.
Tiger can smash a 7-iron.
So you think I'm going to listen to you?
Yes, because I know
golf
exponentially better than you.
I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to Tiger.
Go ahead, Zubin.
We'll see Tiger. Masters, November 12th, by the way, on ESPN. Ooh. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin Nation has weighed in on Key, saying that LeBron could win 7 NBA titles. If you were with us this morning, we essentially said take your pick.
Did I say he could?
Yeah, you said he could. You were somewhat bullish. The question was, could he pass Michael, who had 6 titles? Key said, hey, he could actually win 7. So we asked you guys on the Twitter feed, the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, is Key on point? At nothing off limit, just hit us up. Quote, to Key's point of LeBron 7 titles to pass his heirness, Michael, I think if LeBron wants to take GOAT status, then he has to get the elusive four-peat. He may get a Lakers status if he gets two more. If he three-peats, he's still an MJ shadow. Four-peat, he can possibly take it. Obviously, nothing off-limit referencing the fact that Michael had two three-peats, but not a four-peat.
He can't get status unless he get two more. Lakers, you see how rough we are as Laker fans?
But as a Michael sycophant, I would tell you, I love Michael Jordan, that had he not retired, Michael could have had an eight-peat. Let's just be honest. He could have had an eight-peat.
Well, LeBron could have had seven or eight if KD and Steph and Clay never – you can always do that.
If we're going to keep going ifs – then you know my favorite saying.
True.
Yes.
Yes. Still to come, the NFL's got some tight COVID protocols, but is it time to ratchet it up even further?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Folks, this is no small thing. The latest reporting from our NFL insider, Adam Schefter. If you're just joining us, another team has been stricken with some coronavirus issues. This time it's the Atlanta Falcons, who have closed their facility. An NFL official, according to Schefter, saying just one member of the Falcons personnel had a positive test. It is not a player. One member of the personnel staff. It is not a player. The rookie Marlon Davidson, though, has been put on the COVID-19 reserve list. So that is something that we should mention. The Falcons facility has been shut down, just like we saw in Nashville with the Minnesota Vikings, with the New York Jets, the Las Vegas Raiders, you name it. The Falcons facility has been shut. All players have left. One member of the personnel staff of the Falcons has had a positive test, though it is not a player. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Goodyear. Whether you're on the field or on the edge of your seat, Goodyear wants you to embrace the unexpected. Every upset, touchdown, or fourth quarter comeback, let it move you no matter what the season throws your way. Goodyear here to help you drive you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Yesterday, Rich McKay, the Atlanta Falcons president and CEO, Keyshawn, was on the program, and I'm just going to paraphrase what he essentially said. He said, look, we've got to get stronger protocols. We've got to make sure the locker rooms are even more socially distant. Everybody's got to feel comfortable. This is a cliche, but this is very true. Everybody has got to feel comfortable with being uncomfortable right now, not just moving on in your daily life and being vigilant, comfortable with being uncomfortable. Essentially, the NFL may need to do more to be even more vigilant here.
Absolutely. I mean, in everyday society, right? You guys, it's different. It changes every single day when you're used to opening up a door a certain way in the past. You don't open that door anymore, right? You stand next to somebody in the elevator, you let them go first. Now, everything is, right? Elbows, the leg, whatever the case may be, so that we get through this without any incidents, right? You got to be willing to sacrifice certain things. And I think for the most part, you know, the NFL, the guys have done that. And so when you look at it, they obviously want to play football and get through the season and have a successful outcome. Yes, there's been teams that have come down with positive tests, but those games have been moved. Those games have been played, or they're going to be played.
Right.
Cam Newton, the New England Patriots, he tested positive. He's back now. I mean, so you can get through it. It's just a matter of following all the right protocols and doing all the right things and not being reckless at it.
You can get through it. You just need to contain the outbreak. If you can contain the outbreak, you can get through it. But the contact tracing that goes into that and are saying, who have you been in contact with? How has this worked?
Very important to find that
out. Yeah, that's imperative. But as we've seen, Patriots containing the outbreak, keeping Cam, Stephon Gilmore away from everybody, now come back into this situation, Like, it can work. It just, it's going to be tough to do, but you can do it.
And all the right protocols with the New England Patriots was in place. Mm-hmm. And so you, even with Alabama, you, they seem like they have a lot of stuff in place. So we'll see as their test results continue to come back.
And if you haven't heard with Key regarding Alabama, 68-year-old Nick Saban, the team's head coach, the legendary coach, the 6 national championships, has been stricken with the coronavirus. He's in quarantine at the moment. Huge game with Georgia on Saturday. From a contact tracing perspective, from Jay's point, you just had the Atlanta Falcons play the Carolina Panthers. So they got to be vigilant in Charlotte this morning. We will see tomorrow for a Football Friday. More on the breaking news throughout the day on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.